All right, so what is it you wanted to be able to say to me? You said you wanted to record today because you wanted to be able to say something. What was it?
Right? Because it's the 21st of September.
I don't get it. Another colossal day of iPhone news. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, the 21st of September, 2022. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Dave Hamilton, host of Mac Geek Gab, host of Gig Gab, host of Business Brain, the Entrepreneurs podcast. Do you want to say that thing again?
No, I'm good. Okay. I said it enough. Yeah, okay.
I think I figured out what happened. You misspelled it.
Oh, I did?
I think
that's the problem.
There's no umlaut. And, you know, it's a common mistake, but...
Being a rock and roller, I always want to use an umlaut as often as I possibly can.
That is understandable. Hey, second part of today's show, we're going to talk about stating the obvious. Second part of the show, by the way, comes after the first part. First, though, and this does come before the second part, Dave, you and I today are going to decide why iPhone 14 Pro is doing as well as it's doing, because we got more news today just about how amazingly well the Pro end of the iPhone 14 line is. We'll start with TF International analyst Ming-Chi Kuo saying that the high end of the line is going to account for between 60 and 65% of total iPhone 14 shipments for the rest of this year. That's up from the 55 to 60% they had been expecting. Also, the iPhone 14 Pro Max is the most popular of the line in his estimation, making up about 30 to 35% of the rest of this year's shipments. And you say, well, that's news enough right there, but oh, I'm not done. Wedbush analyst Daniel Ives says wait times...
Continue on. Yeah.
Is that what that means? I've never known. Wait times on many iPhone 14 Pro models are now 4 to 6 weeks for Apple customers and lengthening into November, says Mr. Ives. We believe the iPhone 14 Pro mix is up to 85 to 90% versus the iPhone 13 Pro mix and the 60 to 65% at the same time in the cycle. He's actually worried that Apple might not have enough for the holiday season. And so now what you and I are going to do, Dave, in just a very few minutes, is figure out what the heck's going on. Why is iPhone 14 Pro such a runaway hit this time?
This is fascinating to me. So I have some theories on this. I think the 14 Pro is far enough away from where the 14 is that there's like enough differentiation there, right? And because you've got the I call it the bitter pill because I play in a band called Bitter Pill, and let's face it, that's what that thing is, the dynamic island. Not changing our band's name. Apple's just going to change Dynamic Island to Bitter Pill because that's what it is. But they did a great job converting people from hating that thing because it's this eyesore in the middle of your screen to something that they are calling a feature. And this is something uniquely Apple. And I love that. That's great. I think it's fine.
Andy Anatko actually said after the first his first hands-on, which was at the event, and he was like, this is just a first impression, so, you know, don't hold me to it forever. But my feeling right now is the change to Dynamic Island is one of the best design things that Apple has ever done, ever. Because they have taken this thing that, as you point out, was an eyesore, was a problem, was an issue. They leaned into it. They turned it into a feature. And in the list of possibilities of why the iPhone 14 Pro is so great, I even forgot to list that one. But
no, that's the one, because you don't get that. You still have the notch, right, with the iPhone 14s. So I get it. That part makes a lot of sense to me. Also, the people buying iPhones right now, lots of them are early adopters, right? The bleeding edge folks like you and me might be. And so if you're going to buy, you want something that's remarkably different from your iPhone's 13. And so the Pro creates that distinction, whereas I don't think it's quite there on just the standard iPhone 14. But I am fascinated by this statement from Ming-Chi Kuo that says the iPhone 14 Pro Max is the most popular of the line. This doesn't make sense to me. Because for the first time ever, and I correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll say badia to you, sir, or madam, or whatever you'd like me to call you. I believe this is the first time that Apple has put the exact same camera in the Max version as is in the Pro Max version as is in just the Pro. Right. There is no distinction. There is, you know, in the comparison list on Apple's website, when you get to camera, there is but one column. It is exactly the same between the two. And that's just not how it's been done in the recent past or even the distant past. So it surprises me that people are going for the Pro Max. So many people I know in the past went for the Pro Max of its ilk, because it was the only way to get the best camera, and now you can get the best camera in the Pro. So I'm surprised to see that most people want the Pro Max. I wish there was a Pro Mini, but you know, I'm a different person. So.
I honestly think that this year's iPhone sales, and it's a book that I wouldn't read, but I would be happy if it were out. I honestly think this year's iPhone sales would be an interesting book to read for somebody, and then they could discern it. You know, I'd boil it all down, and I would just read the synopsis. Like 3 or 4 years from now, because there is so much stuff that is so weird this year. There is the fact that they have now changed what's, you know, the iPhone 13 is basically the iPhone. I'm sorry. The iPhone 14 is basically the iPhone 13. And so you can't really buy an iPhone 14 and feel like, OK, well, I'm missing a couple of the features of the Pro, but I've mostly got the same phone. That's just not true this year.
That's not true. Correct.
Additionally, everybody was worried going into this that the wobbly macroeconomic environment was going to make people hold on to their money. I saw one interesting piece in CNET a couple of weeks ago where somebody said this is actually the year for the Pro because of the macroeconomic concerns. If you're going to buy big, because you don't know if you're going to have the money to do this again next year or the year after. If you're ready for an upgrade, get the top of the line, because you might be staring at this device for longer than you would normally. And that's a crazy prospect to me, because you think, you know, I'm stuffing as much money as I can under my mattress. They're saying, no, if you're going to spend money, spend big, because you may be out of it soon.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to it's not just the dynamic island and the camera, right? I mean, it's the chip, too. The yeah. iPhone 14 has the same A15 Bionic that the iPhone 13 Pro, and I believe 13 like mini even had that same chip, right? Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were buying because you wanted the latest and greatest, like in the past, I could forego the great camera in favor of having the nice small size that I really like in my pocket in my hand called the 13 and 12 mini, mm-hmm. the 13 mini and 12 mini, because I knew the guts other than the camera were the same as the Pro models. This right. year, that's not the case.
One of the things we should mention, only because it's something that Jeff Butts and I have talked about a couple of times this week, is the carrier subsidies are apparently no joke. By the way, since he's not here, do you want to make fun of him really quickly?
No.
You
no,
sure? Okay, well, yeah. I'm gonna do it, because he was all like, "Yeah, I'm not getting a new iPhone."
Oh, and then
this
he
year.
Got it. I saw in the
yeah, and then
in
he got one.
That he got one. Yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah, but he's got to wait. That's the thing.
No, because he went through a carrier. He got a carrier subsidy. He is going to be back on the show Friday, and according to the latest thing that he got from the people that he bought the phone from, he should actually have it Thursday. So the first part of Friday's show here is going to be him talking about how great his 14 Pro whatever is.
And what his meal of crow tasted like as well.
Well, no, the second half of the show is just going to be me making fun of him.
Okay, you know, great.
Although, as he pointed out to me in a lovely little GIF form or GIF form, haters going to hate. So it's possible that I'm, you know, making fun of him because...
Wait, are you the hater or is he the hater?
No, I would be the hater, because I'm not getting a 14 Pro this year. Speaking of which, did you?
I did. I have a deep purple.
Of course.
Obviously.
That's the only color to get.
Well, I mean, you may not know this, but anybody who watches, like, you know, Matt Geek Gab that we do live video with knows that the walls and ceiling of my studio here are deep purple in color. My drums are deep purple in color. This is my color. This was my year. So, yeah, I have the 14 Pro, the smallest Pro I could get in deep purple. And it's still massive compared to I spent the day in Boston today and it was like, what is this heavy thing in my pocket? And it turns out it was my phone. So
It's really interesting. There was somebody, it was, I believe, Jose Adorno, and I cannot remember who he writes for now. I remember his name, but I can't remember who he writes for. I think it's 9 to 5 Mac. I'm not 100%. Apologies. But he actually says that the iPhone 14 Plus is going to be a must-have device once it comes out, because people who have been stuck in the consumer side have not been able to get a big phone if they didn't want to spend the money on a Pro, Max, whatever. And so he's predicting this is the year for the giant consumer-grade phone with last year's guts to really shine.
I can see that, and you can get that in Product Red, which looks fantastic. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Really quickly, is Dynamic Island the one big takeaway you have from the 14 Pro, or is there something else that surprised you?
The camera is remarkable.
Okay.
And I know that I haven't and won't ever scratch the surface of what this thing can do, but you know, we ate lunch at this like Mexican restaurant that was in like a cave or something, and I went to take a picture of a plate full of street corn, and it was so much brighter in the picture than it was to my eyes in the light of the restaurant. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, and I was used to, you know, the ability of my iPhone 13 to take decent pictures in the dark. Mm-hmm. The other thing is you could have that picture on your lock screen even when your phone is not on, because the lock screen is always on, at least by default on these 14 Pros in the family. I'm only what, you know, a week into this, barely, whatever it is. I'm not a week into this. I'm like 5 days into this. I don't know about the benefit of having the always on screen quite yet. There have been two things that people have mentioned to me. One is having a rotating list of pictures, just, you know, so that you could, like, on your main lock screen, so you just can look down and see the pictures. And the other was someone who said, oh, yeah, I don't like wearing a watch. And so having the always on screen kind of gives me that clock. And now I can choose not to wear a watch. Because the only reason they wear a watch is to tell the time, which I know sounds super obvious to those of you from 20 years ago that, or even 10 years ago that are listening to this. But now, you know, you have to make that distinction. So,
yeah. Stating the obvious, by the way, is what we're going to be doing. Well, we're going to go ahead and start right now. So what Dave Hamilton, it sounds like, is saying is that the iPhone 14 Pro, not a bad phone. We're going to do some more stating the obvious in just a moment. But this is the time of the show where I normally stop and say, hey, let me tell you about some other thing. But Dave's got other things to tell you about. So, Dave, I'm not a big fan of change, but you've changed the name of one of your shows. Why don't you tell people what Business Brain, the Entrepreneurs Podcast, is and where they can find it?
Yeah, businessbrain.show is where you're going to go to find this show that Shannon Jean and I have been doing for 7.5 years. We do it weekly. It is a podcast, and so you can find it. It's called Business Brain, the Entrepreneurs Podcast, if anywhere you find podcasts. And it used to be called the Small Business Show. That's what it was called for most of its first 7.5 years. I think we had like 4 episodes. We called it the DBA podcast, which was kind of anyway, it was a bad name because people thought we were database administrators. But so the inside joke was lost. But that was fine. We changed it. And now we've changed it again because we focus on using our business brains, not just in our business lives, but in everyday lives. Things like, we like to aim towards living charmed lives, right? And so, like, one of the things we love to do is using rewards credit cards, because then you get, you know, if you pay all your business expenses with those, then you get to kind of lead a charmed life. So that's a very sort of superficial way of using one's business brain, but that's the kind of thing we talk about, is just identifying those opportunities where you can kind of treat everything like a little mini micro business and extract value from it for yourself. So that's what we do on Business Brain. Shannon Jean is long known to the Apple community. He started both Mac Rescue and Tech Restore before we started the show. And he and I have done some other ventures together too. So yeah, Business Brain, wherever you can find your podcasts. We'd love to have you as a listener.
Wherever you can find podcasts. And what was the site again?
Businessbrain.show.
Dave Hamilton is with us today. He is the host of many podcasts online, wherever you find podcasts. So I had said earlier that we would spend the second part of the show talking about stating the obvious, that we have done the first part of the show, which means we are now into the second part of the show. And so we will talk about stating the obvious. I don't know if you know, Dave, but I saw this on the internet today. Engines consume power?
Well, if you saw it on the internet and it's the last thing you saw on the internet, then it is like inarguably true.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Engines consume power. We have yet to figure out how to make an engine that does not consume power.
So in iOS 16, Apple introduced haptic feedback for the built-in keyboard.
I love
it. Which I hate. Oh, really? Interesting. Because I turned it on and used it for about 10 seconds. And I was like, no, I hate this because I know I'm typing. I can see that I'm typing. And every time it vibrates, I think something's gone wrong.
There's two things I like about this.
All right.
Well, there are two things I have to say about this. One, 10 seconds is not enough for our feeble human minds. And I mostly talk about my feeble human brain to adapt to any kind of change. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always tell people give it at least 24 hours, but really it takes us like 2 weeks to adapt to change. But yeah. I like it. I really do like it. What, not only when I'm typing, but even more so when I'm deleting text, like backspacing over things and feeling it jump character to character. Mm-hmm. It allows me to be so much more accurate with when I stop deleting things. It's been a game changer for me.
See, here's the thing. I'm fine with change if there's a reason for me to change. For example, I don't know if you know, I've started doing a new podcast recently. Well, new to me.
Is that right? What show is that, Ken? Promote that here on the Mac Observer's Daily Observations.
BusinessDog.line, I think is the name of the show. I can't remember. I'm actually doing this show right now. Here's the thing, though. I'm going to turn you off the whole haptic engine thing. Apparently, Apple has put in a warning in its doc about the haptic feedback. Turning on keyboard haptics might affect the battery life of your iPhone. And it turns out engines consume power. And it's a little haptic engine that's making that happen. So be careful there, Dave.
How does this... Is this like when they wouldn't let flashlight apps in the store because they might
know.
Like the light might consume power and people weren't aware that the light might consume power? Like that was a thing, folks.
Yeah.
When the App Store first launched, there were so many fart apps and so many flashlight apps. It was ridiculous until they banned one category of them, and it was flashlight apps. People had to hide flashlight app inside of other apps. This sounds like insanity, and it is, but it is also our history.
We live in a litigious society. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Apple had to put that in there, unless, and here's the problem, I think it was Mac Rumors who wrote it up. They were like, it's really interesting, actually, that Apple felt that they had to let people know this. And like, well, they're just letting people know that so they can't be sued later, I think, because somebody will come back and say, my battery would have been better if I hadn't turned on this little engine. And why didn't you tell me, Apple, that engines consume power?
It's possible, though, that Apple put that in there because it's not necessarily obvious to people that it's using an engine, right? I mean, for example, how many people out there aren't even aware that the trackpads on their late model MacBook Air Pro, you name it, doesn't move. Click it and your brain tells you it is moving, but it is not actually moving. It is the haptic engine tricking you. But
that is 100% magical, and you really know it when your laptop loses power. Either when it's off or it loses power, and then you go to pick it up and you're like, wow, it's a solid piece of metal right there.
This thing doesn't move.
Yeah.
So maybe they put that in there because I would like to think they put that in there because, yes, we humans that own iPhones are aware of this sort of fundamental truth that engines consume power. However, we might not be aware that that is using an engine to do the haptic magic.
Well, it's the haptic engine, but okay, I see what you're saying. Here's the thing, really quickly, I probably should reverse these because there's one that's actually kind of more important or at least more interesting from a business side, I think. I mentioned Ming-Chi Kuo earlier and his thoughts on the new iPhones, you know, skewing toward the iPhone Pro. Assuming that sales continue in their current trajectory, he thinks Apple may offer a positive outlook for the December quarter when it holds its September earnings call late next month. I've seen a few places say, you know, selling all these Pros, Apple's going to make a lot more money. And I wanted to be snarky about that because my first thought was, that is so stating the obvious. And then I realize, you know, some companies sell loss leaders. Some companies will sell a phone on the hope of making it back. I mean, that was Xiaomi's whole business model 10 or 12 years ago. We're going to practically give away the device and make all our money back on services. Is that why people keep stating this? Because if you've been watching Apple for any amount of time, they don't do loss leader. And so if they're selling more of the most expensive thing, they're obviously making more of the most money. Any other thoughts on why, or is that it?
I'm hung up on this Apple doesn't do loss leader thing. I think you're correct, but there's something in the back of my head that says, except this one thing that they did was actually a loss leader, and it's not coming to me. So it could be something that doesn't exist, because that's all possible. But even if there is an exception, it's the exception that proves the rule. You are 100% right that Apple doesn't do loss leader. So sell more of the expensive thing,
right?
Make more money. Yep.
The only other reason I can think that everybody wants to state that obvious right now is investors are so worried about the wobbly macro. There are so many concerns about the economy right now. It's possible that every analyst who sees any good news about anything is saying it twice as loud because investors are hungry for good news in normal times. And these are not those.
Yeah.
Hey, if you have a question or comment that you would like to send our way, please send it our way. There are a couple of ways to do that. Observations@macobserver.com is a great email address. Well, I think it's pretty great. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at TMODaily is our Twitter address or Twitter account at TMODaily. If you want to follow me online, I am at macOSKen on Twitter, or you can check out my website, macOSKen.com. Say, Dave, if people want to keep up with you online, what do they do? Where do they go?
Find me at Dave Hamilton on Twitter. It's a good place, and you can go from there together. We will go on a journey together, as it were. My thoughts are with you, holding hands with your heart to see you, that whole thing. Only blue talk and love, remember? This is
the... No idea what you're doing. Advertising handled by Backbeat Media. Ever heard of them? Good company. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to product reviews, your source for Apple news is macobserver.com.